A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard your word, the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is part of our story.
Thanks be to God. So let us just take a moment. Let us just make sure that your feet are planted on the floor, and let's just take a breath, listening for how these words spoken today, how they ring true for you. Just allow a word or an image to bubble up from inside. And let's just sit with that for a moment.
Greetings, favored one. I guess that would stop you in your tracks. At least it would me. There's a different quality to it than, hey there, how's it going? Greetings, favored one, and then add to that, the Lord is with you. And now I'm thinking, something's up, something's coming. It's no wonder Mary is kind of unnerved, perplexed, wondering what sort of greeting this might be, where this is headed, what do you want with me? This word favor, we hear it repeatedly right up front in Luke's gospel. We hear pregnant Elizabeth celebrating, "The Lord has looked favorably on me." On the night of Jesus' birth, and the heavenly host lights up the whole sky, we hear them sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace on those whom God favors." And then at Jesus' baptism, as he comes up out of the water, he and we are given to hear, "You are my beloved, on whom my favor rests." Or as another translation puts it, "In whom is my delight?" This is where it all begins. Or at least it seems this is God's starting point. From the outset, however else we may have summed up ourselves, we bear God's delight. We are God's delight. Do you know what it is to have God's favor resting on you? God's delight residing in you? What if this favor, this delight, we take it to mean this alive energy of loving connection? Mary Ludi recalls a friend of hers describing how her mother blessed all 9 children every morning as they left for school. The friend, who was the youngest, was the last in line. Impatient, she'd try to escape, but she got a blessing whether she wanted it or not. Her mother died when she was 16. 50 years later, she's almost forgotten her mother's face, but not the weight of her hand, the feel of her blessing, how it floods her with peace. I love that. She got a blessing whether she wanted it or not. God's favor is resting on us. We are God's delight, like it or not. This energy of loving connection, we can't stop it, but we can wake up to it. We can let it touch us, claim us, move us. Greetings, favored one. What if we were to hear that as a term of endearment, a way of God expressing, "You are the apple of my eye. Your name is engraved in the palm of my hand." And what if we heard this greeting not uniquely for Mary, Steve Garnes Holmes goes on to wonder, what if there was nothing special about Mary at all? What if she was not particularly pious or virtuous, but simply willing to hear the word, "You have found favor with God"? What if all that's needed to ignite a miracle is the willingness to accept God's favor? What if to bring salvation to the world, all God needs of us is to receive God's delight in us? To imagine God's saving grace growing within us, to trust God's tender regard for us, despite our lowliness, despite our undeserving, despite all the hardships, the struggles, even the sin and despair, to trust God's joy. Not that we are better, but that we are beloved. What if all God asks of us is to say yes to God's yes, to hear God's hope for us, and to reply with all of our heart, "Let it be with me according to your word"? What if all that's needed to ignite a miracle is the willingness to accept God's favor, God's delight in us, and to let this energy of loving connection have its way with us and through us? Are we willing for a great thing to unfold in us? Are we ready to let go of our excuses of inadequacy? Are we willing to be inconvenienced, thrown off balance, discomforted? Will we choose even against our own self-interest for the sake of the divine within us? Will we nourish God's dream for the world growing in us? The way is always open, of course, for us to turn away, as it is for us to cross that threshold toward wherever love's power will take us. We're not given to see how Mary found her way to offer her yes, which is some of the beauty of this storytelling, the way the gaps make room for our imagination, for finding our own way. Notice before the messenger vanishes, Mary is told one more thing. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. In other words, you're not alone in this wild adventure. And in other words, age is no barrier to this flow of God's energy, of loving connection, whereby God's dream for the world is brought to birth. Greeting, favored ones. The Lord is with you, with us. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Now, I'm dyslexic. Karen certainly has experienced some of that this week in our correspondence. And that means sometimes I get a little confused. I get turned around. When I'm driving and Ross is giving me directions, I'll hold up my hand. One of them is left and one of them is right. And I'll say, am I going this way? And he'll say, no, your other left. Now, this is a little bit unsettling for me. There's a song that I find a little disorientating because there is a space between what we are currently doing and what I think might be coming up. Not being settled, not being certain, unsettled me. So I'm going to ask you to join in. This is Joy Sunday, right? Okay, find your right hand. Do you know the song? Join in if you know it. Put your right hand in, put your right hand out, put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Put your left elbow in. See? See? Could you feel that? Could you feel that moment of confusion and delight? Yeah. That was a space and the place that I think I know what I'm doing, but I'm totally not sure. Hey? It's the moment where I get a touch of anxiety. Or is it fear? Most days I'm not sure. But it's in the turning that there's a gap. It arises between a time when things don't match up in the old way, but have yet to settle into the new. So if we'd gotten into a rhythm, you would have figured me out. Ask Ross, maybe that's not such a good idea. But when the settling, when all of this anxiety and fear settles, there's relief. There's excitement. There's even a sense of joy. Joy because I've caught up. I'm able to join in, blend in, thank the heavens, and I'm going with the flow. You can feel joy. Now, the joy that is named in the holy time of waiting, this joy of turning to the advent of a new world, is not the cheap, easy to obtain, wrapped neatly, or simple to create kind of joy. No. Joy is a particular state of being. And as Christians, we name joy as a state when we align ourselves with the holy. In practical terms, joy often visits when we find our calling and join in with the work of God. As the scripture was being read today, in my imagination, I can see Mary is living in this gap. The gap between what once was and what could be possible. I can feel the tension in this turning between joy, between despair and joy. How could she not be living between in this gap? What is it that she has said yes to? Given who she is, she's an unknown, an outsider, a nobody from nowhere. Mary had the ultimate assurances from the highest ranking angel, Gabriel. This angel appeared to her twice, assuring that God was with her, that her experience and message was a sacred encounter. Now, as a people of God, when we gather together here on a Sunday morning or at chanting or when we're on the street signing letters or blessing animals, we are here together to support and care for each other, yes. But I wonder, do we become an angel of some sort? Angels that illuminate a call or a movement, a call toward a greater alignment with God's vision. Are we here to encourage each other, to hold up and celebrate the presence of the Holy who wants to make room in us? Joy is knowing that we are in this thing together, encountering, facilitating the Christ that comes to us again and for the first time. Clearly, even Mary needs a little reassurance about this message that she has received. A child conceived, this turning toward God. When Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the child that she was carried leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She embraces Mary, and a loud cry shares, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." In my mind, this is the final turning point for Mary. For we have witnessed a radical transformation in only 3 short verses. From a peasant girl, see, to the mother of God. Mary turns from fear and worry to aligning with God's plan. Our sacred story shares a Mary that reveals a presence of a God that speaks from the past, a God who is with us and still speaking to us, even maybe using the phone, a call for the world that God dreams of, one of justice. To me, this is an assurance that I walk with the one who was born of Mary, one who has taken on flesh and bone and breath, one who embraces what it means to be human with all its complexities, trials, and joy. For me, this speaks of a God who can bring me out of my place where I thought there was no hope to new life possible. In response, Mary sings with joy about a world that God dreams of. With joy, she shares that there is both challenges and celebrations ahead. The God Mary celebrates is not content merely to point people toward heaven. She sings about a world that has the potential to turn itself around. God's redemptive work begins here, right now, with you and me. God fills the hungry not only with food, but with hope. Rather than being satisfied with comforting the lowly, Mary's God lifts them up, grants them dignity and honor and a seat at the table, a voice in the conversation, turning the world toward the advent of good news. For you and for me, for all people and all of creation. And this is joy. Amen.